Time for the Farm to Table segment on WJBC and WJBC.com. My name's Terry James, and it's brought to you by DuPont Pioneer. From world-class genetics to local on-farm agronomy trials to a team of local professionals, DuPont Pioneer is with you. And with us today is Gerald Thompson. Gerald, how are you today?
Doing very good. How are you doing?
Good. Doing great. Not excited about the 99-degree weather. That's,
no.
I'm not looking forward to that. Let's start off. You are a grain farmer, and a little bit about your background and where you're at.
Yeah, so we're a grain farmer. We live out east of Bloomington, around Colfax, Arrowsmith area. Been farming for this will be the 33rd year, so been doing it for a little bit. Married and three kids, and actually our oldest is getting married on Saturday down in Georgia, so the heat is... and it's an outdoor wedding, so.
Oh man! Well, congratulations on her getting married, but bring some fans, all right? You're going to need those. You know, we had nice enough weather that growing season, planting season, got started just a little bit early. Let's get an update on that. How did the end of planting season wrap up?
Well, so you know, we got it was kind of cool all winter, and then it got pretty nice the 1st of April. And we got in and got some planting done there right around the middle of April. Then it kind of got a. Then we got a cold stretch. I say cold. It was 50, 60 and rainy for a couple of weeks. And so anything that was planted after that, it's kind of struggled. But so the planting season obviously is wrapped up. There was some replant because of that cold stretch, some just poor emergence. You get cold, wet soils like that. They just don't grow as well as they do when you got warm, sunny sunshine coming down on the soils. And so that gave us some challenges, but they've pretty much all been rectified. We did have a little bit of soybeans we replanted, but at this point the crop has all emerged, and this heat we've had, I say heat, you know, the nice sunny days, has really changed the complexion. There was some stuff that was kind of yellow because of a little too much moisture, but it's really greened up and things are looking really good right now.
So Gerald, you'd say the corn did a little bit better than soybeans so far?
Well, so it's further along, right? Actually, the soybean stands, what I see, we have really good stands now that we got them touched in on some of them. The corn is just at a further along stage because there was a group of that got in early, and then so the soybeans, and there was a few soybeans that got in early at that time, but the majority of them were put in after, probably in that, you know, early May period. And actually, our first soybeans were planted during that May Mother's Day weekend, and that was the beginning of that cold stretch, and some of those didn't, they struggled, but you know, the corn is just further along. I think that soybeans certainly have improved and are really showing signs of growing again over these last few days with the sunshine we've had.
Well, I know you're keeping an eye on weed and insect control. Why are those a problem?
Well, so you don't want any competition, right? You know what it's like standing in, you ever been in a really crowded area? Kind of people getting in your space, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not so comfortable, and a corn plant's no different, or a soybean plant's no different. They like to have their space, and so when you have other weeds competing for the same resources, nutrients, moisture, you know, there's a competition factor, and you want to eliminate that. So actually, I'm sitting here in my sprayer talking to you this right now. We've taken a break to talk, but we're out spraying corn, taking care of any weed pressure that has developed since we put our first application on before we planted, and everything is about like we expected. Just a few weeds here and there, but for the most part, they're very clean. And again, you just want to clean all that up so there is no competition for the crop that you're trying to grow.
And there are some tools that farmers use. One being crop rotation.
Right. And you know, crop rotation is not such a big deal when you have perfect conditions, but when you have stress, you have a more opportunity for disease, and that's when the rotation comes into play, and it will help alleviate any stresses from multiple years of a single crop.
Does that mean just planting in different places than where you'd planted before?
Right. So we basically are corn and soybean producers, and that's the vast majority of central Illinois here in your listening area. You'll see a few wheat fields, mainly those would be areas where live still smaller fields, mainly for livestock producers where they need the straw or something like that. But mainly we're corn and soybeans, and so you'll plant corn, or beans, and then the next year you just rotate to the opposite crop.
And then what about cultivation? That's something that sometimes is done.
Yeah, and that's kind of a thing of the past. You know, we have the ability. So before we had the herbicides to take care of some of the weeds, that's all you had, right, was a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the scale we farm on today, you obviously can't go out and hoe all your weeds out, right? You have the ability to. It's kind of a thing of the past, really, and only in certain instances would you use that application. It's very slow, not always quite as effective as being able just to target, apply a herbicide that would kill the weed for you.
Absolutely, and you know, seed genetics have come a long way, so they can actually take care of the seeds ahead of time, and that will repel some of the insects that come along.
Right, yeah, and one of the things that with the new genetically modified crops that we're planting, it allows us to do reduced tillage. So tillage, when you're doing tillage, you're working the soil, you're creating an opportunity for erosion, and the less you do, the better off you are. So because of the herbicide-tolerant crops that we have, we're able to do less tillage and more, which is much better for the environment. And that's come a long ways. I see some stats, and I don't remember what they were, talking about the number of tons of soil that have been saved because we are doing reduced tillage. And a lot of that is because of the new technologies that we use in agriculture.
And you're very careful about pesticides, using just the smallest amount that you need.
Right. So I'm the sprayer I'm in, it's all GPS controlled. When I make a pass through the field, it knows it's sprayed that square inch of soil. And when I run over it again because I come over on the end row, it knows and it shuts it off. So we are much, much more precise in the application. You know, we're less than 0.1% of which is a very small amount. And so, yeah, we have to take training and every couple of years to become certified. And so we're keeping up on the safety issues and the requirements that go along with applying herbicides.
Well, and Gerald, one more thing I want to bring up with you is crop scouting. What types of things do you check your fields for during the growing season?
So right now you'd be looking for just unevenness, any plant that is not like its neighbor. And then, you know, you find one. And typically what we found this year has been because of too much moisture, excess moisture. They'll be yellow. When you have too much moisture in the soil, there's not enough air, which you don't think about air being in the soil, but there is. And so the plant roots can't breathe and it restricts their ability to grow. And so that's one of the main things we're seeing. There has not been a lot of disease pressure, insect pressure this year. Again, part of that's due to the genetics we're planting. They're resistant to some of those things. But, yeah, you just look for just a sick plant. No different than your kids. If your kids get up and they don't look like they're acting right, it's kind of the same thing. That's what you look for.
Well, sounds like not too much to complain about this time of year. Everything's going pretty well.
Things are looking really well. Obviously, we got a long way to go, but we're off to a good start, and that certainly always helps when you can start in a good position. That helps you finish pretty strong. But again, we got a long ways to go, and the big part of the growing season for corn is yet to come here after the 4th of July when it starts to pollinate. That's
knee high is what they call it, right?
Right, yeah.
Knee high.
It used to be knee high by the 4th of July. Well, this year it's about knee high.
A little sooner than that, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and it varies. Corn is anywhere from 6 inches to about 30 inches, which would be about, depending on how tall you are, right?
Exactly. Well, Gerald Thompson, thanks for being our guest on Farm to Table. It's brought to you by DuPont Pioneer. From world-class genetics to local on-farm agronomy trials to a team of local professionals, DuPont Pioneer is with you.